Hey everyone, Ronan here. Over the 70 or so podcast episodes I've released, there was one that garnered the most response and feedback. And that was the one called Compassion is Not a Zero-Sum Game with Scott Galloway. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. The episode that got the second most feedback, or maybe third or fourth, was the first one I recorded with Ben Doc Askins, entitled How to Think for Yourself. And the episode that garnered the third or maybe fourth or fifth amount of response was the second one that I recorded with Ben called Optimize This. Knowing a good thing when I see it, I tried to get Scott Galloway to start a podcast with me. But when that failed, I went for the next best thing and partnered up with Ben to start the Know Nothing podcast, a podcast that pays homage to nothing. We liken the show to a Seinfeld meets the Big Lebowski by two people with below average talent. What follows is the first episode of the Know Nothing podcast called Making Something Out of Nothing. We hope you enjoy it. And if you do, please go ahead and subscribe to it, as whether or not it's good, we're having a lot of fun making it and would love to see it grow. Enjoy. Definitely say that again if you can.
Trying to trip me up. No way, man.
Oh, come on, man. That would be...
I live down here in Kentucky. There's different rules down here about everything.
Is the next 45 minutes.
I got this.
Hey, I'm Ronan.
And I'm Doc!
Doc, I thought your name was Ben.
It is, but...
Whatever. You're listening to the wrong movie. No, wait, that's the wrong podcast.
What a fucking narcissist.
Hot diggity dog, we are on, and I am a producer. I finally graduated to the... No, I've always been a fucking producer. I have to produce my own shit these days. What the hell?
The only way you can get a good conversation is talking to yourself. The only way you can get things done right is to do it yourself.
It's a good
point. What's up, dog?
Not much. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, likewise.
It's been a while.
It's kind of creepy since I shaved my head. We're looking too much alike. I don't know, man.
You know, the episode that's about to drop on the Ronan Levy podcast is with Chip Conley. I don't know if you know about Chip Conley. I think you would dig his style. He started a hospitality company called Joie de Vivre, and then became one of the senior guys at Airbnb when it got big.
Wow.
And now he started something called the Modern Elder Academy. You know, he's in his, early 60s kind of thing.
Okay.
And he realized that there's a huge amount of knowledge and wisdom that we waste with our youth-focused culture, and we send old people out to pasture. And he's like, screw that. There's a lot of wisdom. And so... You know, they talk about the seven faces of the soul, and you hit the kind of double where you can either have a midlife crisis by your Harley Davidson. I don't know if you have a Harley Davidson or not.
Boring.
Or, you know, you can have the midlife awakening and do cool shit.
Yeah.
And so it's all about how to, make the most of your awakening or your Harley Davidson.
But master classes with actual masters for a change? That would be impressive, right?
Not in this social media world. We need people who don't know what the hell they're talking about selling you on $99 a month courses.
Yeah.
That's what we need more of, not less of. More
definitely,
of.
Definitely a glut there at this point, for sure.
No kidding.
It's okay. All is one.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Ratio ex nihilo, especially when it comes to online courses by people who don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, a whole lot of something out of nothing. A whole lot of nothing out of nothing is what it feels like. Right after I ask for a refund, they turn into nothing out of nothing on me every time. Like, I thought you were cool. Never mind.
Hey, that you just summed up the modern state of the world quite eloquently.
Yeah. That's my gift. That one's free.
That one's
$99 a month.
Yeah. Faith, I'll tell you the same thing over and over again.
Right.
Honestly, I feel like most of the courses, if they just told you one thing over and over again, would probably add more value than what they usually do.
Yeah, that's basically my new book. Like, I wrote a book that I thought was really cool, and there was 11 and a half people that paid attention to it, you being one of them or whatever, and I was like, you know what'll sell? If I say the same goddamn thing over and over and over again. Because I bought these consciousness journals, and that's what it is. It's the same thing. It's like 90 days to change. You're going to ask me the same questions every day for 90 days? Sure enough, I did. I changed the answers. By day 90, I was given different answers. Like, this stuff, I guess it works. I don't know.
I guess it does.
Just going to get back in line. I'm going to be a non-player character from now on. That's the way.
So much better that way. Actually, just up there, you see a copy of the trip journal, which is basically the same thing about giving you a whole bunch of space to write about your trips after a psychedelic journey.
Yeah. Was that from Field Trip Health? Is that where it was from? Or was that,
it was
in the app before, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of the analog version of the app. And then I was speaking to Tucker Max, who had Scribe Media, which had its own shit show. And he's like, you should turn that into a book. I'm like, all right, let's turn it into a book. So we turned it into a book. And you know how many copies we sold?
Three.
If we're lucky. If we're lucky.
People like the paper. I don't know.
It is really a nice book, actually. Let me see. I'm going to go on Amazon. I haven't gone on. Every once in a while, I go on Amazon to check the reviews of the Ketamine Breakthrough, because like that's sort of a real book. But yeah, the Trip Journal, let's see if it's still even on Amazon.
What does KDP have to say about this?
Oh, shit. I don't even think it's on Amazon anymore. We finally...
You get shadow banned by Amazon?
Yeah, it seems that way. This is a new notch in the belt. Oh, no, there it is. I
didn't even know that was a thing. They tried so hard.
We got nine reviews, nine ratings. We got 4.1 out of 5.
Oh, send me the link. I'll get you to double digits, buddy.
All right, you got it. Hey, we got a review in May 2024 from Tanya. Yeah. And a prolific reader. This journal is a tremendous tool. Journey work is nonlinear and difficult to grasp. That can make it difficult to integrate. The Trip Journal helps give a framework for meaningful integration. It helps the user parse out the elements that become the roots of sustainable growth, and it is beautifully made. Sweet.
So how much did you pay for that review? Like, that reviewer has a better grasp of the English language than probably the author did. That's an impressive review, man. That's awesome.
What are you talking about, amigo? And then there's the one honest review from a guy named Will, 1 star. This book is extremely... This one is from 2022. This book is extremely light on practical advice on how to make the most of your experiences. What material does cover those aspects of a trip and not info about the author's company, scientific research, or filler pages could have fit in a small pamphlet. For example, the importance of setting intention is mentioned, but there's no advice on integrating that intention into the trip. I will spare everyone else from the rest of those
the
reviews.
The rundown on that, yeah.
Yeah. Shall we find some 1-star reviews on the anti-hero journey?
Anti-hero's journey? Yeah, pull it up. I don't even know. It's been a minute since I looked at any of them.
Let's see. Let's just read.
I'd be nervous reviews. If I wasn't nothing.
The hero's journey for the anti-heroes.
That's the new one.
That's the
new
one.
There's probably zero
up.
Reviews for, you know, the zero with 1,000 faces here.
There sure are. But it's not out yet. It comes out in 2 days. So everyone listening, it's October 17th. So it drops October 19th.
Yep.
All right. Let me see. I'm having trouble finding it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I remember when you asked for a copy way back when, I was like, I had to find the link on the Amazon, Canada version and send it to you. Cause I was getting shadow banned back then too. I probably still am.
Yeah.
But probably deserve it.
But here's the best part. I'm going to share my screen. I hope this actually,
come
tab.
Through.
Here we go.
See if
it got translated into whatever language this is. How did you get it translated into that language? Whatever language that is.
Oh, that's Ukrainian. I have friends over there. Yeah.
Wow. And is this Korean or Japanese? I don't even know.
Japanese. Yeah.
Wow.
I have friends in low places all over the world that are, you know, not even remotely interested in reading this book. So,
you know, I think that is actually the secret to success, knowing
if you can't sell a book in English, you should probably translate it into a dozen other languages just to test the markets, just to see.
You know, that's how a lot of Canadian companies on the companies on the Canadian stock market actually make their go at it, right? By paying German letter writers to write letters to people in Germany that are, I guess, legal there, but would not pass muster by the
from a SEC. Nigerian prince that left them a certain amount of money. If they'll just wire a deposit, they'll send you the rest. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. No, it's a little bit more legitimate than that, but not much. I see your podcast. Man, I can't find your book.
I can't find the book. There's a great review about a foam butt somewhere in there in the mix. Like, it's like the top thumbs up review that I got from a buddy of mine made the review, you know.
Nice.
Said like this, I ordered this book or I ordered a foam butt and this book came instead or whatever. And then it's just a picture of him reading the book with the foam butt on. And he's like, eventually the foam butt showed up too. And the book's not bad.
Yeah, the book's not bad if you can make any sense of it. But be wary of that because Creatio ex nihilo makes something out of nothing.
But
here's the awesome thing. So they're on the page, at least as far as I get it in Canada for amazon.com, we have the new book coming out, the Hero's Journey for Anti-Heroes. Okay. The Anti-Hero's Journey podcast, which is $0.00,
right? It's on Audible. It's free.
Sweet. Les anti-héros voyage le zéro au
visage. Comes with a foam baguette.
No, it's not a real baguette, man. They're delicious. And then we have a book called Hammer. Beyond the Hammer by Ryan Gosling. I don't know how in Amazon's infinite wisdom that came up, but
is he a sex therapist? Is that what that is?
No, he's a leadership dude. High performance team.
The Hammer. Click on my name, like the author page. That's got to take you to the
all right.
There's got to be. Yeah, see, there it is.
We got 23 Jesus, your 5-star reviews.
Yeah, see,
holy shit. 4.9. So someone
did give me no feedback, but just 3 stars because they hurt their feelings. I don't know, you know. That just goes to show that I did not pay for any of these reviews, clearly.
Well, that's good.
I didn't realize that was a whole thing. Like, there's all this review swapping. There's all these ways that people try to, like, hack the algorithm you're an independent author or whatever. I started getting all these, hey, like, if you'll write a review for me, I'll write a review for you. Or, you know, guys in, you know, Pakistan sending me offers to, like, make sure that I get a whole bunch of downloads or whatever. Like, there's just a weird market for everything at this point.
Yeah, just make sure you don't take any packages onto airplanes that they give you.
Right.
Yeah. That is the key. As long as you want to keep traveling.
Searching it first, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. What the butt? Yeah, you've got some great...
See, that's the best one. That's my favorite one. What the butt. Somebody else called it a no-self-help book. I thought that was pretty insightful. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. Short but challenging book where Doc shares his experiences and challenges of life and military service in an honest, raw, but humorous manner. Really enjoyed it, and I'm sure you will too. 3 people found that helpful.
Yeah, see?
There you go.
People read my homework.
Thanks for nothing. That's probably the most honest one.
I like that one. That's a good one, too. Yeah. There was one point in the book where I'm like, no thanks necessary. And a buddy of mine was like, maybe a fuck you might be necessary at this point, but okay.
100%. In a world of madness, this book will drive you mad. You're in good company.
In sync with the world around you is the point. Flow states and such, right? Yeah.
Whatever those are. Because once you're in a flow state, someone said it being like, the nature of a flow state is that as soon as you become aware that you're in a flow state, you're no longer in a flow state.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's sad, self-referentially incoherent like that, you know? Yeah.
You know what? So speaking of
Peter looking down at the waves, drops in, but Jesus pulled him back out again, you know? Yeah.
I've never read the Bible, actually. I started reading the Old Testament once, and I got through the pieces about, like, you know, and Adam knew Eve, and they had children, and those children lived 864 years. And I'm like, okay, that's the end of that. And
I thought you were into longevity medicine, man. Like, that's the secrets there. We got to get this Brian Johnson reverse engineered, like, you know, 3-meter-long telomeres or something. That was the deal, right?
I think so. At least according to the Bible. And you don't have to do anything. It just happens. That's the amazing part.
Right. You just had to have been born that far back, or I don't know, on the Hindu scale of things, it'd be like after Kali Yuga or something. You know, people lived 100,000 years. There's that whole cycle of... It seems like every religion has their own version of, like, people lived for a really, really long time, and we're just a bunch of monkeys that
can't quite make
it to 80 without smashing each other's brains in.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, you know... I've done a bit of that along the way. I can't judge anybody else, you know?
Yeah, of course. And you have, being in the military. I can tell you, I have never smashed anyone's head in. I don't think I've ever had I haven't been in a physical fight. I guess one guy tried to punch me once because I was dating a girl he liked, and that was in second year of law school. That's the closest I've been to a fight.
Not even like with a friend? Not even a friendly fight? Like, you know, punching in the ear like a Fight Club in the parking lot kind of thing? Ow! In the ear.
It's the greatest movie. No, honestly, I was just reading Bob Parsons' book. Actually, it's not down here, but I got Bob coming on the podcast. You know Bob from GoDaddy?
And
he was talking about how, when he was just joined the military, some guy was giving him a hard time, bullying him, and so he like went at him and beat the shit out of him. And I was like, you know what? I feel the need to do that. I feel like I need to just channel
my jiu-jitsu class. Punch your friends in the face week. We have like a glove week where we punch each other in the face. It's a good time.
That is something I need. Punch your friend in the face week. We need more. Why? You got like mental health week. Why isn't there like punch your friend?
Tap out your best friend week, you know, whatever. Yeah, it's out there. We just don't have good marketing for all of that stuff.
Maybe the brain damage has an impact on that.
Yeah, the revolution will not be televised.
It's true. That is true. Anyway, what's been going on in your world?
Man, I'm pushing all the chips in on doing the ketamine assisted therapy thing at this point. I think last time we talked, I was working in the emergency room a bunch, but I got enough traction where I got enough clients here that's what I'm doing all the time professionally now. It seems to be working. So
cool.
Keeping me busy like 9 to 5. And then it's just little league games and softball games and hanging out with kids and that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yep. You've made it. You? yeah. Work, started, you know, help start a new company.
Nice.
Actually it was really interesting. I was just talking to a PR agency. We're potentially going to engage. And I've become hyper aware of this as my kids start to enter sports. But have you ever noticed that, you know, the ethics of sports has been replaced by the ethics of capitalism? There's only one purpose of sport, and that's to win and win. Kill.
Yeah. There's not even like a slaughter rule anymore. They get like 15 runs in an inning and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And my buddy, I think I've mentioned it on my podcast, like my buddy Rigo, his kid, it was a couple of years ago now, he was 11, like really liked baseball, was playing like on a rep team. And apparently the coaches said, like, if you don't have a trainer in the off season, don't bother coming out in the spring. I'm like, he's 11 fucking years old. It's like,
yeah, it's crazy.
You know, I was playing all sports and I was mediocre at all of them. And I remain mediocre or less to this day. And so maybe I am not actually a great lesson in how people should approach sports, but it does feel like sports are taken way too fucking seriously. Cause like, let's just do the math. 99.99% of kids playing sports are never going to make a dollar from it. So like, let's not bank your whole entire career on it. And what about just enjoying things for the sake of enjoying them and not having to win? Like when did we stop having fun?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I feel like we stopped having fun in this world at one point. I'm going to blame just probably the late 90s. I feel like that's when fun stopped.
Everything too seriously. Why so serious, right? Like what happened to like versatility? Getting some experience with baseball and then trying wrestling and then trying band and then trying dance and just, you know, foreign languages, like see what sticks seems to be like. That's kind of how I try to approach it anyway with our kiddos, is like, just try something out for a while and then try something else out for a while. Like, you're not going to figure any of this shit out till you got a whole brain anyway. You got to be like 25, 26, 27. So
and by that point, you're too old and screw to be a professional athletes, right? Like by the time you're 27, you're like, your career is long past, man.
Yeah. That's Tom Brady. Yeah. He's never right. Yeah. Anyway,
he went on. He went on for a long time. That isn't actually an impressive achievement. It is interesting though, because I went to Cirque du Soleil, and the performers there are just fucking exquisite, right? Like the physical feats of what they do is just remarkable. And so on one hand, I do have an appreciation for the people who dedicate themselves to their craft so much to, in some ways, advance the human condition, right? What they can do, probably people 50 years couldn't do. And you see that across all sports. So I do have an appreciation that like that level of commitment and drive has value, but I just feel like it's too saturated. You know, it's just, it's too everywhere. And it's like, either you're serious or don't bother doing it at all. And
we need some more dimmer switches. It's all or nothing stuff.
I'm doing my best to bring the dimming into the world.
Try to be the gray man. Try to bring as much gray to situations as I can, as literally and as metaphorically as possible. Yeah. Have you thought at all about trying to just copy the marketing from Bronx from Idiocracy for Quench at all? Like, Quench shots what plants craves or something like that. And any of the marketing for that. I think that'd be fucking hilarious.
I think that'd be amazing. You know, I honestly, Idiocracy was probably one of the most uncomfortable movies I've ever watched. Not like Schindler's List or like Born on the 4th of July. No. Idiocracy, because that one cut a little too close to home.
Yeah. Cletus and the trailer park taking over, and the triple PhDs are like, hey, we're not prepared to raise another human being. What is the ethics of child rearing at this point? Yeah, that kind of hurt. The first 10 minutes of that was like, wow, how did these guys get a time machine? And still, we haven't been able to do anything about it. We got all the plays ahead of time, and we're still losing the game, man.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
When Fuddruckers became buttfuckers, I literally fell on the ground and started laughing. I couldn't breathe anymore whenever they just put the sign up there like that. It's only a matter of time.
That is very true. What took us down that line of inquiry? Oh yeah, Quench. We're trying to do like good stuff. Like the vision I'm trying to push forward is like we put enough shit into our bodies, and you know, we can thank General Mills and Coca-Cola for. I mean, there's a degree of personal responsibility that needs to be imbued in there, absolutely. But But like, let's be honest, like the marketing and the ease and the convenience of shoveling a whole bunch of sugary, fatty shit in your mouth makes it really easy. And so could we create a company that creates, it's primarily going to be kids focused food products, you know, that actually has stuff that's healthier, you know, if it grows out of, I remember my doctor said, here's a simple rule for how to eat. If it grows out of the ground, if it walks, if it swims, if it flies, you can eat it. Otherwise, if it comes out of a crinkly bag, don't. And it's like, it's a pretty simple rule. I get that's hard, but,
You had, Dr. Drew Ramsey on your podcast previously talking about like nutritional psychiatry and all of the details of like healthy eating for mental health and some of that sort of stuff. And like, I'm reading all the same papers, but what I wind up turning around and telling my patients is eat plants and animals. Like, there's all these multi-million dollar studies about like the Mediterranean diet and the ketogenic diet. At the end of the day, it's like, it's just plants and animals, guys. Like, there's a whole industry around educating you about how you should or shouldn't eat. It's like, if it comes in a box or a bag, or if it's just corn, if it's 99% repackaged corn from one way or another, it's ultra processed or whatever, just it's cardboard. It's not for, it's not for you. It's not for you. Stop messing with it or whatever. Oh, okay. But I can't make recurring revenue on like eat plants and animals. If everybody starts doing that, like, well, what are you going to do?
You know? Yeah, you could do one of those food shipment packages thing, being like, here's your box of plants and animals. Actually, you should just call it that. Let's start like a food shipment, like one of those like organic delivery services, being like plants and animals. Here you go.
Plants and animals, right? The ugly fruits, the leftovers or whatever. There's a whole, you know, niche for that. There's just niches for everything.
Yeah. There's niche. If there's an idea of it, there's porn of it on the internet.
I know nothing about this. What is this porn to which you refer?
It's just as healthy as all the things that Coca-Cola feeds us.
Yeah, no joke. It all hurts. Pick your pain. Which one do you want?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do you want your foot cut off from type 2 diabetes, or do you want to eat this salad? And everybody's voting with their feet. But
Jesus. It's really interesting watching the people advocating the carnivore diet. Like there's an aspect of that appeals to me for sure.
Yeah.
But have you ever
what
tried?
What is the just, aspect that appeals to you?
Like, I guess there's part of my brain that understands the concept that plants built poisons in themselves to not be eaten. And here we are eating all those plants. Whereas the defenses that animals got were horns and claws and teeth, you know? And so as soon as you get past those horns and claws and teeth, there's probably not a whole lot in there that's too bad for you. And so, you know, there's a logic to the carnivore diet being like, yeah, we probably should, maybe too much plants is actually bad for us as well. I don't know if I subscribe to that, but there's like, I can see the logical steps to say like, oh yeah, that's not totally an unreasonable thing to believe in terms of what we should be putting in our bodies. But then like, try going a day without eating vegetables. If you're a person who regularly eats fruits, and it's fucking hard. Like you're like, I need roughage right now. Okay, it's still rude. Like, I don't know how people do it. Like they eat eggs and meat. And if I just ate eggs and meat, I would feel gross pretty quickly.
I've tried them all. Cause like, you know, I've had patients that are in like the biohacker range for a long time. That was some of what I was drawing anyway, it was like to understand it from the inside. I tried a whole bunch of these different things. I was keto for 3 years while I was in PA school and stuff. And I actually kind of liked the keto diet, but I made it 2 weeks on the carnivore diet. And I was just so sick of diarrhea after 2 weeks. I don't know. It's not for me. It's not for me. I'm not that guy. Apparently. Like I just couldn't push all the way through. I'm like calling in sick because of the diet that I have chosen to force. The amount of beef tallow that I was slurping down and stuff, I couldn't get through. I couldn't crawl through the mile of shit to get out of Shawshank to be a carnivore on the other side of that or whatever. Just stuck in prison. I couldn't do it. It's not for me.
Yeah, fair. So you like the keto diet? You're not keto anymore though?
Yeah, I did. I felt like, I played high school sports, contact sports a bunch, military, just got my belt rung a bunch of times.
Clearly did not dedicate yourself enough to it and get a trainer and a dietitian in the off season. That is clear.
Yeah, I didn't. I definitely just ate whatever the hell somebody threw in front of me and still, you know, we won a couple, you know, championships. I could have thrown a football over the mountains over there.
Al Bundy,
you know?
3 touchdowns, 1 game.
Exactly. Back in the glory days, back when the men were men and the grass was real. Anyway, yeah, I felt good. Like, I felt like the brain metabolism thing definitely felt like everybody else was going 65 and I was going 100 miles per hour in the passing lane the whole time that I was in PA school anyway. Like,
I needed less sleep. Speed.
Yeah, it was also the modafinil.
Yeah, yeah. Amphetamines, right? Like, yeah, snorting that. Okay, yeah. But you did actually feel like...
Yeah, this is what Peter Attia must feel like all the time. I'm so smart right now, passing all these exams. I'm going to be a PA someday when I grow up. Yeah.
You know, I find when I fast, like my head is much clearer. Right. So there's aspects of it too, for sure. But I find like even when I try to go keto, it's like my body, I don't think I can get enough calories. Like I'm 145 pounds at the best of times, right? Maybe 145.01 with my hair wet. Exactly. I just like after like a little while of eating, like I just need other forms of glucose in my system. Like I just can't, I'm not full enough. I just can't do it.
It definitely was an adjustment. Like there's the, you know, kind of the induction phase of it or whatever, where you got to push through both physiologically and psychologically. But once it was kind of the routine and I knew what the foods were, and it was one less piece of like a cognitive load to deal with. It was like, this is the way that I eat and it makes me feel good and I'm going to stick with it. And I was also training for like a Spartan ultra marathon at the same time that I was doing the PA school thing. So it was like, it was a ridiculous level of attempted biohacking going on all at the same time as under all this stress into some stupid military medical school and whatever. I felt like it helped anyway for that period of time. But now they got the esters, the ketone ester supplements or whatever. So you can cheat. Stuff? Yeah, you can spiritually bypass. You can ketogenically bypass as well and, you know, get some ketones into your brain without having to cut carbs. And I think they work. I think they help a bunch. They feel real good. They taste like rocket fuel and they feel like rocket fuel. So go, send it.
Yeah. They do taste like shit. Like I had a hard time swallowing it down.
Yeah.
I know there's that company, I forget what it's called, that was making like ketone alcohol because with beta hydroxybutyrate, you know, it's I guess... chemically is similar to gamma hydroxybutyrate, which can make you feel drunk, you know, but is also a daybreaker. Yeah. I've never tried it. I actually want to try it. I'm very inclined because I've heard it's like you feel drunk for an hour and then it's gone and there's no lingering effects. I'm like, it's pretty cool. Like I would love to feel that.
Yeah. I tried the ketone ester alcohol drinks. I can't remember the name of that company right now either.
Hard ketone aid.
Ketone aid. Yeah. They had the snake oil too. The snake oil drink was a really good one for if I was going out on a real long ruck or a real long run. It had like slow release carbs. It was it was fun little drink to have. The hard ketones didn't do anything for me. It was a big nothing burger. But I got a lot of blood, so I don't know if that's part of the problem. I got like 100 pounds on you, so
yeah, fair.
I'd drink a couple of those and be like, well, guess I'll go get some whiskey. I don't. That did nothing for me. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Like the first time I tried it, I was like, I think I feel something. And the second time I'm like, nope, total placebo. There's anything wrong with placebo.
But. Yeah. Optimize for it, right? Like if you know it's there, that's the funny thing about it. Like we've used it as like a problem in clinical trials. How do we eliminate this? How do we, wait, like we give people the water pill and they get better too? How do we turn that up to 11?
No shit,
where all the money's getting thrown, right?
It's fucking remarkable. I've bitched about that on my podcast before, being like, how is it not that people are like, why don't we over index on trying to create placebo effect? Like, I mean, all of life is in some ways a placebo effect, but like, let's do more of that. Not let's try to control for it and eliminate it to prove that our chemical does the work.
Decreases depression by 2 points on this scale so that it separates from the...
and makes you fat and ugly.
And your wiener soft.
Sounds like a good trade. It gives me an improvement on a made-up scale that no one believes is actually an approximation for depression. And it comes at all these consequences. Yeah. Speaking of which, what are your thoughts on the whole FDA fucking up the MDMA thing?
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, I should have known you were going to ask that. Oh, yeah. A part of me is not surprised, for one, right? Like, there is this... how does the saying go? Like the way that a paradigm shift happens in the way that anybody approaches a particular area is dependent on the old generation dying off and the new generation taking place. And we're at that sort of a transition point where it's almost like a generation's got to kind of retire before this is going to make its way into being more normalized and mainstream. So I think a bunch of this if I could try to put like a real fine point on it, is just that we're in this, the middle of a Kuhnian paradigm shift, and that is going to require a whole bunch of boomers to retire or die off.
What did you call me?
Kuhnian paradigm shift. Thomas Kuhn, Structure of Scientific Revolutions. Google it.
I'm going to have ChatGPT explain that to me, because Googling it sounds like a little bit too much work. Can you tell which of us is well-read and which one is a lawyer?
Which one of us is living paycheck to paycheck and which one isn't?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
We do look a lot alike, though.
We do. We definitely rock the look. And I think I started the conversation, but we got off it. But like Chip Conley was on the podcast, and he's bald. Yeah. He's bald as well. And so like my intro is like this conversation.
Solar panel for a sex machine.
I need that shirt or that hat or whatever it is, along with my damn seagull's hat.
That's the one. So, Chip Conley, did you ask him about MDMA? Is that why you're coming back?
No. I was just coming back to the bald part. But we started off with, my intro is like, this is a conversation between two bald dudes talking about psychedelics, life and death, finding purpose and meaning. And I'm like, and this may be a conversation of me talking to myself, but it actually wasn't. It was me talking to Chip Conley. And in many ways, this is another conversation that probably in some ways, but for the fact that you're way more articulate and way more well-read than I am, could be a conversation of me talking to myself.
Let me be your Tyler Durden.
Please throw some lie on my hand and let it burn.
Yeah, shoot yourself in the mouth when you want me gone. Am I allowed to say that? Anyway, moving on. MDMA.
Yeah.
This revolution, I think, has just been paused to some degree. But yeah, I like the advisory panel being just kind of shocked. Like, oh my goodness, they tied this to therapy. Like there's just so much wrong with how all of that went off the rails. It just boggles my mind.
It really is mind-numbing how so many smart people could come to such a dumb conclusion. It's kind of like, you know, creating an artificial knee and then being like, but if you have to do surgery to put this in, sorry guys,
that problem.
That knee has to place itself in your body and remove the other one. Otherwise, go fuck yourself. You're out of luck.
Yeah. Oh, you were talking about like putting this in a human being. Oh, well, we're going to need some more information on whether or not that's a safe thing to do or not, was basically like the answer was, well, we need more safety data around this, where like there was transient hypertension was a side effect, like
also of
elevated liver enzymes without exercise. Any consequence. Right. Yeah. Like, meanwhile, I can prescribe Accutane for acne, but that's going to crush all of your internal organs and maybe give you a psychotic episode. And there will be a whole lot of things that blood work ongoing to be able to prescribe that med for this indication. But PTSD, we haven't developed anything for in a really long time. Whole lot of people are dying of it. Pump the brakes, guys. Pump the brakes. What does this do to male pattern baldness? I need to understand a bit better what the interactions are between this so-called miracle cure and all the other meds that we've already got out there that we're going to put people on for all the years that you're going to have to go back to the drawing board on running some clinical trials. Yeah. The jokes aside, it's pretty sad story, honestly.
It really is. I haven't listened to it, but I saw Bessel van der Kolk.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You know, he was on Rangan Chatterjee's podcast talking about, and I haven't listened to it, but basically why the FDA was entirely wrong. And I think David Nutt released a paper basically on the same thing, right?
Yeah, just recently. It was a great paper for sure.
I haven't read it yet, but I'm glad that you have, because one of us is well-read and the other one is a lawyer.
I tried the carnivore diet and I just spend a lot more time on the toilet. So I got all this time to read on my phone.
Yeah,
trying to make the most of it, living my best life now.
Pushing through.
Crawling out of that mile of shit. Someday I'll get out of Shawshank, man, and I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah. Speaking of, I think I saw a post where you were like somewhat supportive of RFK in the US election, and no, he's not. But what's your take on what's going on with him? I can't take him. Like, he's like, he says all the right things for all the right people, and I'm like, you just don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's like, I'm not a scientist or an epidemiologist, but in listening to him talk, I'm like, but I see 17,000 things wrong with exactly what you're saying, as much as it sounds persuasive.
It's important to have like the right comparators in mind. mind, right? Like, I'm down here in the U.S., man. We're like, what am I comparing here? It's kind of like the Ibogaine controversy by analogy, right? Like, the comparator is not a healthy, functioning society full of awesome political candidates that you just have the pick of the litter. Look at all these geniuses. How do I decide which genius to vote for? That's not what I got going on down here, man. Like, it's not great comparison. So yes, a 70 something year old guy who can do 15 pull-ups right there, that's all it takes. I'll vote for him, sure, why not? It's an idiocracy. This is where, if it's the end of an empire and I'm just, you know, watching from my farm outside of Louisville.
That is impressive. And but then, like, the story of the bear came out, it's like, what are you talking about? I don't know. And this attention economy, like, striving for attention, it really is. I appreciated, and I think we talked about this before, but it's like, in an attention economy, like, there's just a natural gravitation to the more extreme and the more stupid, because that's attention grabbing. And truth, in fact,
shiny,
very boring, so shiny. Very boring, doesn't move very fast.
It's the seven deadly sins. Which one of them are we going to put in the first 5 seconds of this video to make you pay attention for a little bit? just appeal to either your mouth or your, you know, downstairs is all that we wind up doing over and over again. Hey, what would it look like if, you know, like, if some adults ran the show for a little while? I don't know, maybe I'm just a dreamer.
You're not the only one. The guy who said that died because he got shot.
Yeah.
Never
mind. I'm not scared. Send it.
Bring it.
Come to my house. That's where all the guns are. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that is entirely fair. I was trying to watch the Kamala on Fox yesterday with, what was the guy's name? Bill Breyer. Is that his name? Chris Breyer. What is wrong with that guy's face?
Like, I haven't seen that one.
Oh my God. Should I pull it up and show you? Because, like, I was just like, really? That is, okay, hold on. Fox News.
I get all my news from the 1440. Have you heard of the 1440?
No.
It's an email once a day. Okay. And it's just a rundown, and it's amazing. It's so minimal biased. It's just, hey, this shit happened in this place at this time. If you want to know more, click here. I love it. So I don't watch any of the talking heads or the TV newses, or tend to think for myself, or not at all.
I can't. You can either, like, play it, or it gets small. But all right, hold on, let me share my screen again.
Send it.
I'm sending it screen. One, two, share. All right. Okay. Like, you're telling me that's someone's real face?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
you know,
what has been injected into that?
That face filler. It's full. His face is full.
Like, his forehead doesn't move. Like,
Botox,
I don't know,
but, man. You never heard of Botox.
I know it's Botox, but, like, you know? Like, it looks like plastic. Like, yeah, even like the makeup.
The simulators behind this whole thing are sick of us not paying attention to the fact that it's a simulation. They're just going to keep throwing puppets up there over and over again until we figure it out.
That's true. Let's see if Kamala's face moves. Oh, her eyebrows move. That's good. Oh, she's got lines in her forehead.
I grew up in a middle class family.
Yeah, of course you did. We all did if we're running for politics. Except Donald Trump. It is one of the most confounding things, like, not to shit on Donald Trump, so it might as well be him, right? Like,
he doesn't seem to mind self-immolating at all, so, you know, there's that. I gotta respect that, right?
You gotta respect
a certain
that.
Level of fearlessness, a certain level of just, you know, staying zero about a whole bunch of things that everybody else cares a great deal about. Lot of lying. Not in a paradoxical way either, but what are you gonna do? You know, that seems to be the currency in DC at this point.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of issues with him, and there's a whole bunch of him issues with his policy, but I guess maybe being a little bit teleological, like, just using the FDA as a system, it's like, that system's gonna go. If it can't maneuver enough to say, hey, what if we pair some therapy with this particular mind-altering substance to see if it makes it safer and work better, then, like, that system has gotta go. That's a very rigid, antiquated system that needs to, you know, put on some big boy pants or big girl pants and actually, like, get a job and move out of the house, right?
Yeah, make your bed.
Yeah, make your bed, like in the military. And it's like, if that's the system, if that's the best that we got right now, and I'd argue the FDA probably works better than most government institutions, then we kind of need to tear the whole thing down. And I don't know if you can do it step by step. I think maybe you have to do it in one catastrophic clusterfuck, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking up here from up here in Canada, where we have universal health care, and although crime's getting worse in Toronto, it's pretty safe to walk around the streets, and most people don't have guns and like to say sorry. So
yeah. It's a different way of life for sure. I slept on the streets in Toronto. Really? Spent a spring break up there one time for a whole week in college. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go sleep on Church Street for a week and see what it's like being homeless. Just homeless tourism. That's what Toronto is good for in my mind anyway.
And
everybody was nice. You know, if I needed a toonie, they'd give me a toonie and I'd go get a hot dog somewhere. I didn't starve. Everybody was real nice. I didn't get mugged or anything.
There you go. On Church Street too. That's a particular destination.
Yeah, for sure.
We weren't too far. There is a place called Hooker Harvey's on Jarvis, which is just a block over from Church Street, which is where all the hookers used to hang out. It was fun to drive home along Jarvis in the evenings to witness the action.
Yeah. That's the spot. Yeah. If you don't. Hey, I had a question. I wanted to ask, like, did you ever do like a post-mortem on field trip? Like if you had a do-over,
yeah,
what would you do?
I wouldn't open the clinics. They're just, you can't make money doing that. Like it, with the overhead,
the model itself is bankrupt.
Well, there was a number of things that were challenging about it. One is, I mean, no one had scaled this before and no one really had, you know, tried to do psychedelic assisted therapy, like it's, you know, really at all. Like most ketamine places at that time were just ketamine infusions. Here's a needle in your arm, Godspeed you well.
Yeah. There's a dividing curtain between these nine beds and there's an anesthesiologist just hooking everybody up and sending them to space and back and then sending them home.
Enjoy your visit to God.
Talk to your therapist about it. What therapist? I don't understand what just happened.
Yeah. You got a priest somewhere. It was what I realized is like you can divide the population into three segments. People who are comfortable with psychedelics, people who will never do psychedelics, and that very thin margin in the middle of people who are open to it but haven't done it and would feel much safer doing ketamine with a doctor as opposed to doing an MDMA, you know, with a guide. And there aren't a lot of those people. And, you know, when we were, for the fees we were charging, which was like $5,000-$6,000 for a course of treatment, you know, you narrow that band of people even less. And then if they have to have, you know, in most places we required it to be like just from a medical guidance perspective, treatment resistant depression or anxiety, which means you shrink it even more. And lo and behold, the people who have severe treatment resistant depression and anxiety who haven't found relief elsewhere often don't have jobs to pay $5,000 or $6,000 to come into the clinic. So like you start shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and just, it becomes really hard to find an audience. And then I think rightfully at the start, we had a very robust screening process and, you know, wanted people to meet their therapist and feel comfortable with them. And then best practices, you have the same therapist for your session every single time, but that creates scheduling nightmares. So the model was challenging and for a variety of reasons. We announced our existence in April of 2019, opened our first clinic like a week before the pandemic hit. And when the pandemic hit, you know, financial markets were off 40%, 50%, whatever. And so we're like, shit, how are we going to like get to our next capital raise? But then there were two psychedelic stocks that were bucking the trend up 200%. One was Champignon Brands, which became, I can't remember what it's called now. And the other one, I think, was MindMed. And so we had all these banks calling us being like, you guys want to go public? We can raise a whole bunch of money for you if you want to go public. And we're like, no, we don't want to go public. But we do want to raise capital, you know, take while the taking is good because, you know, this was now April or May of 2020. And we didn't know that there'd be even a world left in September, right? Like we had no idea what was happening. We're still in like the midst of the world falling apart. Yeah. So we're like, all right, let's take while the taking is good. But that came with the strings of having to go public. So we had to try and, you know, catch up to that and we could just never make it work.
Yeah. So you don't think there's any way to like do a do-over on that that would have been different had you not gone public sooner? You think it would have been different? Or
I think if we didn't go public sooner, we could have sort of scaled our growth and like had a good assessment as to how to make these clinics work.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you doing the rundown on some of that. I was always curious, kind of, you know, trying to read the tea leaves from the outside. Like, man, these guys went so big so fast. What the hell is going
to
happen?
I would love to get back into the psychedelic space. I just don't know how. Like, I really don't, you know, Alex Enchin, who is a friend and, you know, involved in the space, you know, said one time, like, maybe psychedelics aren't meant to scale. And I think that may be true. You know, I think
maybe they decide, maybe the psychedelics decide when they scale. And otherwise, you are working against nature or God or both or neither.
Yeah. You just got like, I mean, it's got to be worth it. I remember. I've kind of shifted and this come up in the podcast a bunch of times, like my views of like scaling and growth and all that kind of stuff. It's like, just have fun with it. Like if you're making money, if you're not making enough money to get by, have fun with it.
Yeah.
But at the same token, it's like, running a business, running a hotel is fucking hard work. Like it's not, you know, I don't know if anyone thinks running a hotel is sexy, but like, if you think there's sexy aspects of it, you know, that's 3% of it. And the other 97% is accounting and making people show up and paying bills. And it's like not the fun stuff. So it's like, if you're going to have to do the drudgery,
yeah,
it's gotta be worth it. And, right. And either you've got to be like feeling the internal rewards and validation of doing something really, really awesome and meaningful for people, or you got to be making money. It's got to be one of the two. Otherwise, why are you doing it? And so when I look at most options in terms of what a psychedelic business could be,
the fundamentals are the same as any other business, except now it's a mushroom at the center of it or whatever, right?
Like, yeah.
And if you don't want it, and it's got its own sort of wily nature, right? But yeah.
That's exactly it. So I don't know. I'll keep my eye on it and see if opportunities emerge. But the other thing I see is that, like, I always talked about Field Trip as a lifestyle company. Everyone wanted to position us as a mental health company because that's what investors could wrap their heads around. But it's like, it's not mental health. It's a lifestyle. You have to make the decision to change, you know, and doing ketamine and opening up or psilocybin or whatever to open up your perspectives and see the world from a different lens and make change is a great part of it. But you have to choose to change and stick with those changes. Otherwise, you just go back to mostly normal again, which can be fine. But if you actually want a different outcome from where you were, it means doing change. And to do change means doing it daily, which means it's a lifestyle business, right? It means you got to keep coming back to the well and keep working at it. And so that's why we kind of had the app. But like, again, like all the, well, the app makes no money. And I'm like, yes, but the app grows the audience of people and there's ways to make money off it in the future. It's like, but we can't do that now. Let's focus on. And so, you know, we end up being like a transactional treatment company. And just, you know, again, could that work? I don't know, maybe, but we didn't make it work. And it doesn't really deliver the promise of effective change for people. You know, people got to keep doing the work.
That durability of efficacy, as the say in the clinical trial data or whatever, is tough to come by, honestly, right? Change is hard.
Yeah, change is hard.
Want the easy button.
Of course.
Cheerios could lower your cholesterol. I'd rather just eat Cheerios, right? It could. What the hell? The box says it could. There had to be a bunch of lawyers said it was okay to say that, right? It doesn't lower your cholesterol. It's absolute horseshit. Anyway. What are some of the big changes that you've gone through, you'd say, that you'd attribute to psychedelic journey spaces?
That I attribute to psychedelic journey spaces? What do you mean by
that? Yeah. Well, you said like change. Change is hard to come by. We're talking about trying to help people change. That's a piece of the lifestyle commitments. What's been your own experience in that regard, like big changes that you've made because of some kind of psychedelic journey, you know?
Yeah. You know, truthfully, the psychedelics have probably been like way station and psychedelic journeys. They haven't been, they're kind of like a catalyst, but like the work is outside of the psychedelic journey, to be quite honest.
Right. You're just sitting on a couch all day. What'd you get done, bro?
Exactly.
I went to Mars. I talked to God. Gosh. Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it now? You know? Yeah. What's he done for you lately?
Well, yeah. Is he here in the room right now? Can I talk to him?
Just talks and puzzles like this asshole.
Kuhnian.
It's just Thomas Kuhn. Kuhn. And, you know.
What'd you call me? So the things like the growth I've gone through, and I don't know if I can attribute to psychedelics, but it feels like they were somewhat meaningful, is like softening my like harshness on myself. Becoming a little bit more secure, you know, and a lot of the fights that I have had over the years have been just like stupid triggers, right? Like who loads the dishwasher and how it gets done. And now it's kind of like she saw how that might impact me and her reasons for it doing it. And I saw how, you know, I was reacting to it. And okay, I don't need to get upset about that. My ambition, like actually I hadn't shared this with you, but it's going to become a podcast on its own, but I got invited to do a TEDx Bermuda talk and they invited me to talk about psychedelics. And so, you know, they called me to say like, hey, we want you to do a talk on psychedelics, but two things to keep in mind. One is the audience in Bermuda is very conservative and fairly religious. And B, you have to have an idea worth spreading that hasn't been done on psychedelics. And I'm like, shit, I don't know.
I guess I better go megadose some psychedelics.
Yeah, exactly.
Find one of the teach me plants. What haven't you taught anyone else? I need to know your secrets.
Exactly. So I was gonna talk about like my journey, which was, you know, being fairly straight edge kids, not being into drinking drugs or anything along those lines, getting into cannabis purely as an entrepreneur, changing my perspectives on plant medicine through that experience and seeing what it can actually do for people, getting into psychedelics, having like the moonshot with Field Trip and being on CNBC and the cover of New York Times, being invited to all these cool things and cool events to speak, you know, and then like the fallout from the other side of that, and just like the relentless pursuit of money, wealth, fame, you know, attention, influence, it kicked my ass. And so the last 18 months I've gone through, you know, fortunately not terribly severe health issues, but various kind of psychosomatically driven IBS, brain fog, all this kind of stuff that the good Jewish hypochondriac in me freaked out about.
Some whiplash,
exactly. And so, you know, now I'm on the other side, and psychedelics have helped me realize that what I was seeking with money was security. But the only thing that can make you feel secure is yourself. You can have the biggest bank account in the world and not feel secure. In fact, after we sold Canadian Cannabis Clinics, I had multiples more money than I ever had before, and I felt more financially anxious. How does that make sense, right?
Right.
You know, you look at the illusion of money, and like Elon Musk, I don't know if he's number one or number two right now, but like if work is inherently an economic bad, that the less you have to work, the less you will work kind of thing is a rational outcome, then why is it that the richest people in the world are also the busiest people in the world, right? That tells you that money doesn't actually provide you with whatever you think it will in terms of a cushy, relaxed life, right?
Yeah.
So security, freedom, it's like all of these things come from within, nothing external. And you know, all the philosophers, all the gurus have told you this, but I had to realize it on my own, and psychedelics were part of that. So it's kind of like the talk was going to be called How Psychedelics Made Me a Success and How They Can Make You a Success Too. And it's about realizing that the things I wanted from quote unquote conventional definitions of success wouldn't come from the way that I was pursuing it.
Sounds like some kind of hero's journey bullshit to me.
It does. Oh, but.
Which a conservative crowd is going to love, man. It's going to be the best TED Talk ever.
Here's the best part. And my buddy Jordan Shallow, who's a great guy, actually, it's like I was talking with staff about like who would I pick to do an ayahuasca journey with. You're on that list. Jordan Shallow's on that list, and eventually we'll make that come together.
Yeah. The stars will align, and we'll go visit a dragon.
Yeah, fuck yeah, we're gonna ride that dragon. And anyway, he introduced me to Gabrielle Lyon, Dr. Gabrielle. You may have seen her. Like, she's like a muscle centered doc kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, I told her the rough idea. She's like, you got to be wary with psychedelics and TED. They're very particular. Talk to this guy, Tucker. So I went to talk to this guy, Tucker, and I said, here's my talk. He's like, here's what you need to do. The organizers of the local TED don't know what's kosher for the TED website. So email the TED Central organizers and say, here's my proposed talk. Want to make sure it's okay. If not, give me guidance. So I did that, never heard back. And then 3 days ago, I hear back from the Bermuda organizers saying, yeah, we heard from the TED Central office and they told us you reached out to them and they basically said, you can't do this talk. So I got uninvited. So my hero's journey is still midway. And it's a good lesson.
Sounds much more anti-heroic to me now.
Yes, it does. I made nothing out of something again.
Should have called it nootropic technology or something like that, right?
No shit. Yeah. So
it grows in the dirt, man. How are you going to hate on it? It grows in the dirt.
Yeah. So my TEDx talk has now been revoked because
it's just an X talk.
God forbid someone should say something true that isn't validated by so-called science.
Yeah, if it wasn't checked off on by a bunch of lawyers. Oh, no, wait a second. Hang on.
Wait.
Should have been fine. You should have used the secret handshake and gotten through all of that stuff. 33rd level Mason that you are, you know?
That'd be cool. Is there 33 levels of Mason? I feel like you actually know that.
Allegedly, yeah. Oh. That's the highest level in the Masons. That's where you learn how to, you know, transport to other dimensions and I don't know.
Sweet.
Eat other people's children or something. I don't know. I thought
that's what us Jews are for. Now drinking children's blood. That's what us Jews are for.
That's a Hollywood thing. Now they took it from you.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's one thing we had left.
1,000 bottles of baby oil.
This conversation has been weird. I don't know if we could ever publish this, but it's been fun.
Yeah, leave it up to the lawyers like everything else.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's what got us in the first place, huh?
Yeah.
Some extent, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else we want to talk about right now, or should we wind this one up?
That's pretty good, man. Yeah. All right. I feel good. You feel good?
It's a great conversation.
We got Idiocracy in there. We got MDMA.
Drinking baby's blood.
Drinking baby's blood. Hookers on Church Street or Harvey Street or Harvey Hooker or whatever it was you were
Hooker
talking
Harvey
about.
Hooker Harvey, is that? We got the various anti-heroic moments.
Yep. Slid as many notes under the door as I possibly could for anybody that's listening and for all 11 people that have read the book and will listen to this podcast.